The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Inspiring interviews with today's top landlords. This is the Rental Income Podcast. And now, Dan Lane.
Joining me on the podcast today is Phil Botfield. And Phil has a really unique niche that I've been wanting to cover on the podcast for a while. Phil invests in neighborhoods that you have to be 55 and older to live in. And I feel like this might be a really profitable niche because these properties, from what I've noticed, tend to be cheaper than properties that are in just a regular run-of-the-mill neighborhood. And also, I feel like people that are 55 and older are more settled and they're not moving every couple of years. So you probably have more longer-term tenants, and that means less turnover and more profit. So I want to learn more about exactly what Phil is doing. Phil, welcome to the show. Why don't we start with you telling us a little bit about yourself and how you got started owning rental properties?
Sure. I'm a CPA by craft, and I, like most people, read a bunch of books and kind of self-taught myself on the things that I wanted in life. And passive income was the most important thing to me. So I started considering the different options that I could have from a rental income standpoint. And I considered student housing. I considered Section 8. And where I felt comfortable from an investment standpoint happened to just be in the 55 and up because of the quality of care with the unit and the overall lack of headache that I have with my tenants.
Okay. And you're not over 55?
No, right. No, I'm okay. 29.
And the properties that you're buying, are they in neighborhoods where you have to be 55 and older to live there? Or are you just buying properties that are regular properties and you're just looking for tenants that are over 55?
So to own in the particular condominium complex that I buy in, you have to be 55 years of age or older to reside in the unit, mm-hmm. but you do not need to be 55 years or older to purchase it. But
Okay.
So and there's also a little sidekick to it. There only needs to be one person of age 55 and up inside the unit. Someone 18 or older can also live in there, as long as there's a 55 and up is also also.
Now, when you're looking for a tenant, do you market differently to find someone that's going to fit into that age range? Or are you going about just the normal, put the ad on Craigslist, put it on Zillow, the regular sites everybody would use?
Well, so here's the thing. That's a great question, actually, because Craigslist and a lot of the online real estate advertisement platforms don't work with the 55 and up group because they don't go to those websites, quite frankly. So the typical manner is MLS, but something else that I do that's been very helpful is I advertise in the local newspaper of that condominium. So this condominium, it's very large, it has over 10,000 residents, and it has its own newspaper. So when I have a vacancy, that's generally where I've gone. Okay. And it draws pretty good success.
Okay. And your tenants, are they, you know, I just assume that someone that's 55, they maybe have a pension, they're maybe more stable. I feel like those tenants might stay longer than a tenant that's 23 or something.
Yeah,
is that true?
And that's very
okay.
true.
Okay.
That's exactly, that's what drew me to 55 and up was the fact that a lot of the different residents in the complex, they don't want to move. They want a place where they can call home for a long period of time. And maybe it's until they pass. So it's from a vacancy standpoint, turnover, there's not much.
Okay. And why aren't these people generally buying? Are they similar in that they maybe just never got their stuff together and they've just been renting their whole life? Or is it cheaper for them to rent than it is to buy? Like, what's their story?
Well, you know, I would say that there's a, you know, like anything, when you own something, there's the upkeep and maintenance of it. So I think for a lot of these individuals, the fact that they no longer have to upkeep a home and maintain it, or at least from a financial standpoint, concern themselves with it, is beneficial. But down in South Florida, we have a lot of retirees. So people will sell their homes and take the equity that's left over, in addition to their fixed income they get from the government, and use that to live. So a lot of times, you know, I'll have a tenant who's got $200,000 in the bank, but they want to rent because they want to enjoy the money they made from their previous home.
Sure.
In retirement.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense. And the you have a, I guess a, you said it's a condo building that you own.
Yes.
In?
Yes.
Now, are the HOA fees fairly high, or is that pretty reasonable?
Yeah. So with the negative of these condominium complexes is that the cash on cash yields are not as great, and it's directly attributable to the management fees. I bought my unit for $88,500. The last one not this last one, but the one before. And I'm currently renting it for $1,300 a month, but the HOA fees are $430 a month.
Wow. Okay. Wow. And then what about the taxes? Are the taxes in Florida fairly cheap or not?
My taxes are about 2.3% of my purchase price.
Okay.
So probably a little bit on the higher side, because usually they're about more like 1.5% from what I've heard from other people around the country, but you know, not crazy.
Okay. And how does that price, the $88,500, how does that compare if you were to buy a comparable condo that was in just a regular neighborhood? Would that price be a lot higher or lower, or how does that price compare?
Well, I should first tell you that when I purchased that unit, I purchased it significantly below its value, even at the time that I purchased it.
Okay. Okay.
It was the woman who owned it was an out of town owner whose mother had passed, who had just deeded it over to her, and she just wanted to get rid of it. So as a good investor, I identified a motivated seller and was able to find a great deal, because right now that same condo now sells for $135,000.
Awesome. Awesome. Great buy. That's awesome.
But in general, you're right. It's a lot lowered by 20 to 25%.
So are there any downside? It seems like you've got stable tenants. They're not going to have crazy parties and trash the place. Is there any downside to being in a 55 and older neighborhood?
Sure. Yeah. I'd say there's three main downsides. The first downside is the cash on cash yields that a lot of people are looking for. You're not going to get this 15% return in these neighborhoods, because the fees really do eat into it. Right now, I'm yielding about 8% cash on cash. That doesn't include, obviously, my appreciation or the tax benefit from the depreciation write-offs.
Right.
So I think cash on cash is a little lower than what most people expect.
Okay.
Number two is that the vacancy up front when you initially buy is usually a lot longer. I hear most people, you know, they buy a home, they're able to get a tenant in there within, 3 to 4 weeks. And in most of these condo associations, there's approval forms that have to get filed. You have to screen them, then the association has to screen them. So generally the upfront vacancy is about 3 months, which is a lot longer, because a lot of people don't factor in, I'm going to have to hold a mortgage over for 3 months if they're using financing terms.
Right. Okay. Okay.
And the last thing that I would probably say is, and this is kind of one of those funny questions, I get some interesting maintenance calls. I got a maintenance call 2 or 3 weeks ago. My tenant said to me, the ice machine's not working. So I have a contract with a organization, and it's free of charge for me, which is great. But I just pay a fee once a year to them, and they service me. And they went out there and they found that an ice cube was stuck in the middle, and she could have easily just pulled it out with her finger.
But oh my God.
That's my 3 a.m. toilet call.
Tell me about this service that you use. So this is like a maintenance service?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's fantastic. I pay $372 a year. And basically anything that happens at the condo, they go and service it.
Wow.
Whether
okay.
it's an appliance. Sorry.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I cut you off there.
No, that's okay. Whether it's an appliance, a door, whatever the case may be, it's a great little deal.
Oh, is this specific to your condo building or is this just a local company?
It's specific to my condo building, but you can find it anywhere.
Okay. That's interesting. I've never heard of that before. I'm definitely gonna have to look into that. That sounds like a pretty good deal. And then how much do they charge when they come out for a service call?
They don't charge me anything. It's included in my whole fee.
Wow. Okay. So it's $372. Anything breaks, they fix it.
That's right. And so all my serial numbers, they're all associated underneath their umbrella. If something breaks, they come fix it. If something needs repairs, they come out and they fix it.
Wow. Okay. And that's not like a home warranty, is it? That's just like a repair plan?
It's kind of like a home warranty, but it's I guess it's an all-encompassing, because the most important thing for me was that I wanted to make sure if the AC breaks, they cover it too, because they cover that also.
Okay.
I don't know if most home warranties do that. Maybe they do if you have an extended plan.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. So you have two units right now, 255 and over units, and you've been doing this for, I think you said, 2 years that you've had these properties for?
That's right.
Okay. Have you had any turnover yet? Has anybody moved out, or have you had the same tenants the whole time that you've owned the units?
Nope. Same tenants. The renewal process was super easy. I sent a one-page renewal letter with a small bump in rent bump. But like I said earlier, you can't really bump rents tremendously because these people are on fixed income. So my bumps are like, 1 or 2%. They're not, 5-10% numbers that I hear other people say.
These are people that are on fixed income and maybe they're not getting a raise. How did they react when you told them you were going to be raising the rent?
It's never an easy conversation to tell someone, hey, you need to pay more money than you did last year.
Right.
But I should say, and that's something that I was very concerned with upfront, was asking for more money. And because I don't have any sort of cap on my property taxes, I was concerned that I was going to actually make less money in my next year. So I explained to them very candidly how, the maintenance fees had gone up. I showed them actually the property tax roll from the county website and showed her how my property taxes had increased from the year before. And she was very understanding. And I think it probably comes with the fact that I did a good job screening my tenant. I knew what I was kind of getting, but that can't be said for all landlords.
Right. Now, tell me about your tenants a little bit. So they're totally retired. They don't have part-time jobs or anything.
That's right. No, they're totally retired. And generally, although it's a 55 and up community, believe it or not, most people that are around the age 55 who would qualify, they really feel like they're too young, and maybe it's almost like a pride thing for them to move into an elderly facility.
Yeah.
So most of my tenants are between the ages of 75 and 85.
Okay.
But they're on, Social Security. And I have one tenant who also received some disability income as well.
You're renting to older people, and there's always the risk that somebody could die. Have you thought about what would happen if someone dies? Like, what's that process like? Do you have to evict them if they're dead? Like, can you just take over the property?
Well, it's an unfortunate thing when it happens. It hasn't happened to me. But what I have structured in my contract is that if a tenant were to pass, that I simply would take 2 months rent. So I've already got the security deposit and last month's rent in my pocket. I would immediately do a walkthrough and then see if, I needed to get anything else in addition to the security deposit and last month's rent that I have. And from there, which generally my tenants have kept the places great. I haven't had to take any security deposit money at all. So that's basically how it works. Take 2 months and then move on.
Awesome. Well, I will go ahead and put Phil's contact information on our show notes page. If anyone wants to reach out to him, you can find the information at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode 63. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.